This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Shall we join?
How do you think Mary felt when she found out she was with child?
Well, when the angel Gabriel came and told her that she was going to have a child, I'm sure she wondered, "What am I going to do? What am I going to tell Joseph? And where do we go from here?" And most of all, she wondered why God chose her. And after speaking with the angel, she decided, "I will do what God wishes."
Did Joseph have any questions?
Yes, I'm sure Joseph had a lot of questions when he found out that Mary was with child. He wondered, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do about her? What are we going to do?"
Were his questions answered?
Yes, because an angel came to him in the night and told him that he should marry Mary, and that they would have a child, and it would be a special child, and his name would be Jesus, and he came to save the world.
Why did the wise men follow the star?
Well, they were curious. We think one of the wise men was an astrologer, and that's different from what we think of astrologers today. So they saw the star come up and thought, we don't have nothing else to do. Let's go follow this. No. They wanted to go see what was happening, and they had got a hold of some old scriptures that indicated there might be a special baby born.
What was the wise friend's response about the angel about the return home?
Well, I'm sure it might have caught them a little off guard, but they took the angel's advice and said, "You know what? We can go another way," because there was another way. So that's the way they went. Okay? Cool. Good job.
What was King Herod's motivation to find baby Jesus? Well, first we have to keep in mind that even though he was the king of the Jews, according to the Roman authorities in Rome, who had set Herod up as the king in Jerusalem, Herod himself was not a Jew, and he was rather paranoid. So when he heard that there was this king of the Jews who was being born where he was, it freaked him out, as well as the people all around him. He was somebody who was so paranoid, he wouldn't have hesitated to kill his own sons, one of his wives, his high priest. He was so intent on keeping his title as king of the Jews.
And why did the wise man go talk to King Herod?
That's a good question, too. First of all, God hadn't told them that they couldn't. There was nothing that was said that forbade them from going to talk with Herod. It wasn't until later in this story that they were warned in the dream not to go back to Herod. So first of all, there wasn't any reason why they shouldn't. Number two, though, is they weren't really sure where Jesus was. They knew when he was born, as Paul was saying. One of them was an astrologer. They'd seen the star. But by going to see Herod, they came with the information about when he was born. The rabbis in Jerusalem knew where he was born. And so God used these people to bring those two facts together so that they could go and find Jesus.
Thank you. May God be proclaimed in all we say, in all we do, in all that is heard here tonight. A birth, a marriage, a dream, a journey, a king, a child, his parents, and an angelic appearance. It all happened for the glory of God, and those scenes and characters are all parts of the Christmas story, the story of the greatest human who ever lived. And all of that background had to occur as Mary and Joseph journeyed faithfully, I might add, to Bethlehem, even as Mary bore this child. And I'll just bet you, Mary and Joseph couldn't have even imagined they were worshiping God on this hard, tough road, a road which seemed to have no end, I'm sure. For Mary, the pain. And for Joseph, the emotional struggle, seeing his wife have to ride in an incredibly uncomfortable position, being pregnant with child. And all because of an ordinary government order to be counted as citizens every 10 years. And then they finally arrive at Bethlehem and they find rest in a stable, hardly a place of worship. And somehow there's a star which appears overhead. I mean, imagine it. The angel told Joseph it would happen, but I'm sure he's still stunned and in awe. And not only eventually do the shepherds and animals gather in, but wise men from afar come as they see this bright light over the manger, another great journey in the story. And suddenly this stable, this lonely, cold place becomes a warm house of worship. This place, which was the only place where outsiders could stay, instantly becomes a place where all want to be, where all are, in fact, welcome without question. This place of total isolation becomes a place of utter proclamation. So, my friends, my question on this Christmas Eve is simple. What will you do? Because of the story, our stable is this world. Our stable is our attitudes. Many times we're cold and lonely. We need Christ to be born anew in us before we can make a difference to others who might not know him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So says John 1:1. It's up to us to accept the good news of Christ first. And we don't talk about that a lot. And if you struggle in some way with accepting the Christ child into your hearts, I would encourage you to pray with me, or pray after the service with me, or pray on your own time for Christ to enter you anew. Because friends, one way or another, as I say here at church a lot, when people see you, you make a difference. Now that can be a good difference or a bad difference. But what will you do? But first and foremost is accepting that gift the Christ child offers for you. So friends, in the beginning, God made the cold-hearted people warm once again, did he not? And in Jesus' birth, he made the unbelieving even worship. I'm sure that mixed crowd in Bethlehem, not all of them came because they just believed. But suddenly God made the impossible possible. So in your stable, is the star burning bright for others to see? If you're struggling, is there a star you need to see that God's lighting? What will you do with the good news of the Christ child born for you, for me, for all the world? Do you have Mary and Joseph's awe? Or do you have King Herod's skepticism? Do you have the wise men's wonder? Or are you making an excuse why you're not going to take the journey? Can you even bring the angel's message to someone, even to your heart? A child is born for you, and his name is Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Ultimately, dear Black Rock friends, Jesus was born so our world, our stable, can become that place of worship, a place where we can honor and glorify God to no end, where peace, love, joy, and hope can be born again. But it can only happen if we truly are having Christ be born in us, our own hearts and our own lives, our own community, to go out there and minister to others, to light the path, and born in the world in a whole new way. And it can only happen if we're truly representing the very best and presenting the very best we've got to Christ, as the wise men did. My friends, what will you do? Will you come to the manger, following the star of Jesus now and throughout your life, preaching by it, living by it, acting in accordance with it, doing your best to bring Christmas, the Christ child, alive? Consider these thoughts, if you would, for a moment. Jesus may have been an infant, but what we learn through the story, God is very much in charge, is he not? He guides Mary and Joseph onward, and he even encourages their marriage, even if the culture of the day suggests otherwise. He guides the wise men by a star in faith and warns them later in a dream, "Don't go back to King Herod, return to your homeland another way." Incidentally, the wise men's don't ask any questions at any point in the journey, either going to Bethlehem or coming from it. Do you ever notice that? Instead, without reservation, they bring symbolic, high-class gifts: gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, and myrrh for anointing the dead. Those are what those gifts represented in the culture at that time. And why do they go to all that trouble? They're spurred on by this promise. Their Messiah, their Savior, has been born. Their world, the whole world, society as they know it, will be changed forever. Their ordinary lives will become extraordinary once again. Dear friends, the Christmas story is, in essence, about people being called, it's people being called to follow their star in order to find the fullness of life, which only Jesus can give. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So what's the nature of the star you follow? What will you do with it? Do you pray each day for your family, for your friends? Do you pray for your enemies, our leaders, people you wish you knew better, strangers, people who annoy you to no end and don't tell me they aren't there? Do you pray for peace, for love, for understanding, for God to work in the seemingly impossible or insurmountable? You know, that's what happened in the Christmas story, right? God made the impossible possible and the insurmountable intimate, and because of that impossibility turned to intimacy, the world as we know it is never the same again. We can worship God not only now, but always through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. So friends, what will you do with that good news in your heart? A couple other things to consider here in regards to the story. Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the long-expected King for the people of Israel. But the wise men coming from the east represent all the people of the earth. So Jesus is revealed not as infant king of the Jews, but as Lord of the whole earth for everyone. And the wise men fall to their knees in adoration and offer him worship with their articles, their attitudes, and their actions, everything they've got. And also keep in mind, the treasures they brought didn't make them proud. No. They remained humble-hearted. They didn't want glory or to be the center of attention. They open-mindedly, humbly offered their best, and they were completely sacrificial to God, to this child that was their Messiah. Will we do the same? The wise men also stand, friends, for all who are ready to break out of their routine and comfort zone and go in search of what they truly yearn for. New life, something better. So friends, from every corner of this great earth, we can be drawn to Christ, our Savior and Lord, brother and companion, who offers the gift of salvation, who touches all with the healing power of love, and it rests on even the least valued in society. And all become his children together by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit which allowed Jesus to be conceived to Mary and Joseph in the first place. And of course, I don't like to, but we have to touch on Herod, who was interested in knowing about Jesus and worshiping him, yes, but he didn't want his own position to be affected. Now, how's that any different from us? Sometimes, we want to worship on our convenience. Herod wanted the fame, but not the work of worship. He wanted the fame, the feel-good stuff, but not the work of worship. Well, friends, worship is actually how much of our lives? How much of our lives? Go ahead, say it. All. Worship is our whole lives. It should be, in fact, worship. And true worship involves us looking to something else, giving up something of ourselves, remembering we can't and won't ever be able to do it all, remembering none of it was ever ours to begin with, only to be managed for a brief time. It could be ripped away in a moment, even our very earthly life. Worship, in short, friends, is to joyfully be with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in beautiful, awesome places. So are you worshiping as best you can with your life? You know, this Christmas Eve, I hope that's a real joy for us to consider, to worship with our whole lives. I'd love for us to capture the hope and peace of the stable in the story. What if our hearts were so open to God, the next cranky person who comes in contact with us would be changed by a simple smile or a kind word? What if the next lonely person we talked to was changed with a hug, and through us, they somehow realized they are never alone? And what if the next person who just doesn't believe in a God, for whatever reason we deal with, would be somehow changed in some way, and in such a way, by the way we treated them, they would wonder, man, how could I have deserved all that? Why would they have been so kind to me? Friends, what doors might open if we did that stuff? What stars can be lit, and what worship could happen with God's help? So, dear friends, what will you do? And let me leave you with this. Make no mistake. No one can do everything, but every one of us can do something to make this world brighter and better. Young and old, like one of our children said, we are all ministers, we are all leaders. Every one of us can birth the Christ child in places we never knew he could be born. We can make the Christmas story come alive in hearts and homes like never before. So God's waiting, friends. Our stable's prepared, our star is lit. Don't make the Christ child's birth a gift just for you. What will you do to bring honor and glory to God as you share him, the living word and light from the very beginning? And by his grace, if everyone does something, something beautiful will be made out of something the world would say is seemingly impossible. The beautiful impossible of love's wondrous birth, the glorious improbable of heaven come to earth.
The mystery and majesty of a miracle nativity.
The beautiful
impossible,
Jesus is born. The beautiful, impossible, God star in the night that shines so incredible. Tis God's guiding light.
The hope of peace,
how can it be? A child has come to lead. The beautiful,
impossible,
Jesus is born.
Into our silence, God's music resounds.
Into our shadow, a star reaches out.
To the manger
of our empty hearts, God sends a Savior to give life a start. The beautiful, impossible of angels in flight, with shouts indescribable, they wing through the night.
The heavenly throng
with voices strong teach the world a joyful song. The beautiful, impossible Jesus is born.
Lord, help us make the Christmas story a reality to those we meet. And as we wonder and wander in this world, we know somehow you're with us. Light our star, open our stable, prepare our hearts to trust that by your grace, someday at Christmas, miracles can happen. Everyone will act right. We'll talk to one another rather than hurt each other. We'll somehow not be in prisons of any kind, but all will find a sense of freedom and joy in you. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, lead on, shine on. Lord, someday at Christmas, we trust there won't be a need for any war whatsoever, when we will have learned what Christmas is truly for, when we have found what life's really worth. There will, Lord, be peace on earth. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, lead on, shine on. Lord, someday at Christmas, maybe, just maybe, we'll see people for the valued children in you they really are. Our dream of a world where no one goes hungry, where no one's hands and hearts are lonely or empty, is truly there, Lord. Yes, one happy morning, we'll look forward to the day, to a world where people truly are there and they care. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, lead on, shine on. And someday, maybe, just maybe, God, the only tears we cry will be ones of joy, where everyone will be equal, where fear and fright will just vanish. It'll be a world where no one runs away, but people draw together in you. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, lead on, shine on. And someday, Lord Jesus, we can't wait for a world where no one will fail, where our hate will be gone and your love will prevail. And Lord, we know it's a world we can start someday, even right now, putting hope so far as it depends on us in every heart. By the light we share. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, lead on. Yes, Lord, someday all these dreams may come to be, someday in a world where and when we are free. Maybe on earth, it's not in our time, but it'll happen someday at Christmas when all join with you in the stable of love, the star of light, and the manger of hope as we come close to the Christ child with joy anew. And then, oh, and then we'll be with him forever one day in that awesome eternal place where the light never goes out. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, lead on, shine on. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things in wonder and worship. Amen.